I want to ask you to notice a passage of Scripture today. Jesus tells us that there's one thing over all else that we have for which to be thankful. I want you to turn with me into the book of Luke. We're going to read verses 17 through 22. And as we read these verses, Luke 10, beginning at verse 17, we're going to see, the Lord willing, that the sovereignty of God over this world is the one thing for which we have to be thankful over all else. Look at, you might say, well, what about this and what about that? I'm thinking you'll see by the time we finish today that God's sovereignty in ruling His creation and in providing salvation for our lives in Jesus Christ is the fundamental thing that affects everything else. Notice with me in Luke chapter 10, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Son, the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." May the Lord add His blessings to this passage of Scripture. Will you pray with me, please? Father, Your Word is true and right altogether. And as we read multiple verses, we can find many things. But Father, as we look at this circumstance today, help us to find the great truth that is given to us and the encouragement that's given to us and indeed the admonition that is given to us. Of all the blessings You give us, we never lose sight of the greatest blessing of all, that You and Your sovereignty have written our names in heaven itself. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. And amen. "And the 70 returned." Now, I want you to notice a little bit of background that leads up to that 70. If you go back to the first verse of this 10th chapter, you'll find that the Scripture reminds us that Jesus, or the Lord, appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. And He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." What I want you to notice is that there came a moment in time when Jesus sent out other 70 also. Now, if you go back into Matthew chapter 10, we see where the "also" came from. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and I won't read all the passage, But you'll notice that in these verses where the names are given, the names that we're familiar with, but he said he called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of these 12 are, and when he sent them out in verse 5, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he gave instruction that they were to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to notice in that passage that there were 12 men whom Jesus sent out. 12 names that we know, Matthew and James and John and Peter and the others that we know as those 12 disciples. But I want you to notice that as he sent them out, they were to go in a very specified path, a very direct place, and they were to go with very direct instructions. They were to go knowing that they had power to heal, power to cleanse, power to bring forgiveness, power to do things that the Lord had sent them to do. Now, when you get over into Luke chapter 10, we find that Jesus set apart other 70 also and sent them out two by two. We're not told who their names were. There's not a name attached to those 70 individuals. But he took others and sent them out with the same way that he sent out the 12 first. Now, brothers and sisters, the reason I mention that to you is the importance, as I see it, is that here was a group over here that were very different. There were many more of them. They were later on in the process. And here was a group over here that were few, and they just started, and there were only 12. And yet with the 12 and the 70, and by extension, I would say to you today that the power of Jesus Christ as given through His Holy Spirit in His church is the same now as it was then, to go and preach the kingdom of God. You see, He gave them power to do certain things. This group and this one also. Now, I don't want to get into a debate with you today or an extended thing about, well, what specifically was that? We don't have time for that in the scope of this message this morning. But what I do want you to see is that for 12, for 70, or for a group in Brooklyn, Georgia in 2022, today, we have the same direction as the Lord's church to go and to preach the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave the direction. We have His direction. And so the encouragement given in this passage is not just, well, that was a history then. It is to us to say, God gives us the power to do what He wants us to do. And we can walk in the assurance of that, going in the path where He sends us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 70 others also. But that 70, when they went out, they came back sometime later. We're not told how long it was. If you read the text passage, it's only a matter of a very short period of time. He turned to them, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." We did great things. We were able to do powerful things. We watched the demons react to Your name. We watched this. We watched that. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Notwithstanding, with all of that, even though I've given you these great blessings, even though I've given you the ability to do things that are beyond the normal logical appearance of things, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, folks, the marvelous things that we watch God do, the marvelous power that God gives us in His service sometimes, the marvelous abilities that we see with Him, the one thing that we need to be conscious of more than anything else is that God wrote our names in heaven. God wrote them down. It's one thing for us to be glad when we do something, and we ought to be, but the real thing we ought to be conscious of is that everything God blesses us to do is because God wrote our names in heaven. Who wrote them? God wrote them. There's where the sovereignty of God comes into play. If you'll notice that the message of the sovereign work of God in Jesus Christ is also echoed in the prayer that Jesus speaks in verse 21 and 22 of this 10th chapter of Luke. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Why? Why was it that these fishermen, why was it that these 70 men understood more than the Pharisees, more than the Sadducees, more than the priests in Jerusalem? "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." You see, that which is good in God's sight is the sovereignty of God at work in our lives. "All things are delivered to me," Jesus said, "of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son." Ah, but here's the other expression. "And he to whom the Son will reveal him." Him who? The Father. The Son will reveal Himself, and through revealing Himself, He reveals His Father. Jesus told His disciples, "No man has seen the Father except through me." You see, here's the sovereign plan of God, is that God, through His Son, reveals Himself. It is through His Son that He touches those whose names have been written in heaven. Think about an account. The hymn is back in our hymnal now. But I had an uncle who died before I was born. Suffered with TB at a time when it was a disease that was very difficult to deal with. He was limited. He was confined. He spent most of his time in bed. And yet this man, who didn't feel like he had that great power, didn't feel like he could overcome this enemy or that enemy, he felt the weakness of his flesh. And yet his favorite hymn, as he lay on his bed on my grandparents' back porch: "Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold." He wanted to be sure of heaven. And the way that he was, "My name's written there. You see, folks, the one great reason for joy in our life is that regardless of what happens in this world, there is one sovereign reality that God wrote the names of each and every one of His children given to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. He wrote every name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was cognizant of every name. And as He would draw all men unto Him, He said He would draw all of those whose names were written in that book of life. And as He would reveal Himself, He didn't just throw it out there. He was working in the sovereign presence in the names of everyone whom He wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Go with me back over for just a moment. Go back with me to the book of Revelation just a minute. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to notice some language. And I realize there's a lot of question, a lot of uncertainty about some things that are written in the book of the Revelation. But I want you to notice some particular language about a statement made in Revelation chapter 20. And I want to begin reading at verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, plural, were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You see, the unregenerate and the ungodly will be judged because of their ungodliness, because of their works. Well, preacher, where does that other book come into play? I would tell you that whosoever, in verse 15, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, notice something else that we're told in Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, the Lord Jesus, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. You see, the book of life was sealed from before the foundation of the world. It was completed. It was written front and back, all pages. And it was sealed with seven seals. Well, those seals were judgments that were about to be opened. They were, but you understand, it wasn't the opening of the book. It was the breaking of the seals that brought the judgment. And it's my understanding that those judgments were the same thing where judgment was brought on those who were judged according to their own works. What were we judged by? We were judged by the grace of God upon His Son Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. When all the wrath of God was poured out upon Him for us, whose names were written in His book. Oh, we have such blessing. Do you understand that Jesus reminds, do what you're sent to do. Do what you're blessed to do. I've given you that power. But don't let that become your focal point. You remember above all else that your name's been written in heaven. And I got to thinking, folks, first of all, that promise means the great blessing for which we can be thankful is, first of all, there is a heaven where God sits. There is a heaven that is real. There is a heaven that is true. There is a heaven that is right. And God sits upon His throne. with all the difficulty in this world, with all of the troubles and failings of men, God sits upon the throne. And God wrote our names where He is. He didn't write our names out on a piece of paper and wad it up because we got messed up and throw it away. He wrote them down in the book of names given to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. We've read that passage of Scripture on many occasions from Ephesians chapter 1. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame. Where? Before Him. You see, folks, when He wrote our names, He ensured that every name would be before Him in His presence, in His love. John chapter 6, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And no man cometh unto Me except My Father, which is in heaven, draw him." And Jesus said to those in Luke chapter 20, that He was thankful that the Father revealed unto babes. And He revealed the one, He revealed Himself through whom Jesus would reveal Him. You see, folks, our relationship to God, and this can get bigger and bigger. But what I want you to see today is in the world where we live, where we become so physically, visibly, tactfully touching function. I see this. Oh, I've got this to be thankful for. Oh, I've got that to be thankful for. But you see, folks, the greatest thing that you and I have to be thankful for is that God placed us in Jesus Christ by His own sovereign will, and that God revealed Himself to us. And God has told us through Jesus, "Him that cometh unto Me, no man comes to Me except My Father draw him. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." And He said in another place, "All that the Father giveth unto Me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." What's going to happen at the last day? He's going to come back. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. If we are deceased and dead upon this earth, from our grave, no matter whether it's dust and from many of years of decay or whether it's freshly buried, we're all going to be drawn forth. And in the twinkling of an eye, everybody else that remains is going to be changed. And all of God's people are going to be changed and fashioned like unto the body of Jesus Christ. And we'll be caught up together in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, folks, I'm thankful that God's given us a country in which we have many benefits. I'm thankful that God's given us a congregation of believers. I'm thankful that God's done great things. But at the very beginning, I need to be thankful that God, in His mercy, wrote my name down in heaven. That in His Son, Jesus Christ, He secured my hope that not only is God in heaven, I'm going to be. I'm not worthy. I'm not fit. But Jesus is going to make me like unto Himself, and I'll be perfectly fit for that. You see, folks, don't let other things draw your basic reason for being thankful in your spirit. Don't get so caught up in what God gives you the ability to do, what God's commanded us to do, the directions that God's given us. Do what we should do. Do what we can do. But don't forget to give thanks simply that God wrote your name in heaven. Maybe you're here today and you know that He's drawing you. Well, how do I know? Jesus said, "Come unto Me." If God's drawing you unto Him, then your name's written in heaven. Come and take your place by faith and follow Him here in this world. Come and take your place in serving Him and rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that great work of your sovereign grace.